Good morning, family. You know, this song that we just sang has some pretty interesting memories for me. My second congregation that I preached for, which was in Lake Isabella, California, for 10 years, I was the minister there. And there was this young lady that was probably about 3 years old when we started there. And she one day told me as she got a little older and could read songs a little bit better, and she looked at this song and she said, now some of you, I'm trusting all of you know my last name is Roe, and so she said, you know, when I started figuring out this song when I was a little girl 3 years old growing up, I always thought the song was "When the Rows Are Called Up Yonder." You know, that's when the preacher gets called up, everybody else goes too, you know. So that song has a special memory for me. But anyway, we're glad that you're here this morning. Somebody said last week that we got a rainbow up here. You see all these colors behind me? We want that rainbow to grow a little bit more. So feel free, as you saw one of our little ladies here bring up the detergent at any time, to put your detergent up here, because a week from this Thursday, the truck will be here from the New Mexico Children's Home to pick this up, and we'll mention that again later in the service. And we know that this will be a blessing to the house parents and the children there at the children's home. Before we begin, I also want to just pass on my condolences to Carol Baldwin. I don't know if it's been announced yet, but yesterday at around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we got word that Bill Baldwin passed away. So please pray for Carol and Mike Dobbs and the rest of the family at the passing of our brother. He was a good man and a good Christian, and so we're thankful that he has gone on to his reward. If you'd like to follow along this morning, we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 3. Most of the verses will be on the board, but I do want you to have your Bibles open to 2 Peter chapter 3, because there'll be a time or two we'll look at some verses that may not be on the screen behind me. And you can also follow along in the bulletin. There's an outline there of the sermon this morning, as we will be looking at 2 Peter chapter 3. People today are fascinated more than ever before about the future. And it's always been this way, but it seems that with each passing year, people are making predictions about the future more than at any other time in our history. And this is especially true when it comes to predicting the end, predicting the Lord's return. It doesn't seem to bother people that Jesus made it very clear in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36 when he said, "No man knows the day nor the hour," but that does not stop people from predicting that day, even in our world today. You remember all the commotion that took place before January 1st, 2000. The year 2000. I mean, people, you know, it was the turn of the century, boy. That was a demarcation in world history that people were determined had something to do with the end. And so we had some friends who were storing up large volumes of bottled water. There were people predicting that the stock market would crash, that our banking systems would fail, the communication systems would be suspended. And they said that we would experience major transportation problems, shortages of food and water and electricity. And of course, that day came, and none of those things happened. That's right, life went on. The Lord did not return on that day, nor any time even after that day for the first few years. And so years before the turn of the century, we also notice that before the year 2000, people were trying to predict what life would be like in the new millennium, how things would be so much more modern, how things would be so technologically advanced. And so in the movies, they pictured people dressing with silver jumpsuits and wearing go-go boots. And there were sliding doors in homes, and there were moving sidewalks throughout the cities, much like, you ever seen the movie, the cartoon, The Jetsons? Remember those little moving sidewalks? Well, the only place you see those nowadays are in airports. And by the way, thinking of airports, they said that by now we'd be all have our own little private cars, that we'd be flying through the air everywhere. And I'm just suspecting that all of you came here by ground transportation this morning, that you didn't fly here this morning. Those things have not happened yet. But I suppose that people will still think about what life will be like in the future. And even though life today is nothing like the sci-fi movies of the past, you can't deny the fact that life is changing today at a very, very rapid pace. It's not just in the area of technology, but families are changing, values are changing, society is changing, our idea of what is right and what is wrong, our morals are changing today. And the question is, in the midst of all of these changes, how does a person of God prepare for life in this new millennium that we're in now? I'm going to suggest this morning that we stop listening to Hollywood, and that we stop listening to the date setters and those who will try to predict the future, but rather instead we listen to God. Amen? How about if we do that? How about if we open God's Word, we look at the pages of Scripture, and let us get a perspective of the future and of how we should view the future as we look at the Holy Word of God. Instead of looking even at the insignificant details of this life, what I'm going to suggest that we do this morning is step back and take a look at the bigger picture. That we focus on the bigger panorama of life rather than even look at the fine details. Years ago, there was a little town in West Texas that had this preacher who had a radio program that in the range of that radio program was about 25 miles. And yet he would get on that program every morning and he would say, "Hello, world." And that's how we would start out. As if that little 25-mile patch of circle in West Texas was the world. He would say, "Hello, world." We tend to think of the world that consisting of sometimes our little circle. And we think that the relative few years that we have on this planet, whether it be 70, 80, 90, whatever years, that is the most significant thing because it's the world that we live in today. Church, there is a bigger picture on this existence, on this planet that we're on right now. And living effectively for the Lord, I believe, requires that we learn to see that bigger picture. Imagine, you will, two different kinds of viewers watching that famous classic movie, The Titanic. And you have one person who's watching the Titanic on their little cell phone, 2-3-inch screen, you know, and trying to look very carefully at that movie, versus someone else who's at this huge movie theater with Dolby sound, you know, and all the theatrics. Who is going to be able to enjoy that movie more? Who is going to be able to really catch all that is involved in that movie but the one who will see the bigger picture? And so it's the same way in life for us. If you really want in on the life that God has for you, I'm going to suggest this morning that you need to look at the bigger picture. So you'll see these three points that we're going to cover this morning in 2 Peter chapter 3. First of all, we're going to understand that we need to look at things, everything in life, from the terms of eternity. Secondly, we're going to understand that we need to live in the moment. And then thirdly, we'll talk about how we need to learn to prepare for the best. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3 this morning and see if we can look at the bigger picture. First of all, we need to look at things in terms of eternity. We tend to look at things a lot of times in life in terms of the now, what's right in front of us. and we see the mundane details of this life, sometimes, sadly, as something that is very urgent, as if this little thing that we're looking at right here is some kind of do or die situation. And this kind of thinking is counterproductive to the way that God wants us to live, and sometimes it creates a lot of unnecessary stress for us. Most of our problems are not a matter of life and death. There's no point in trying to blow them out of proportion. Dean Smith, the former basketball coach for the University of Carolina, once said this. He said, if you make every game a matter of life and death, you're going to die a lot. That's what he said. And I think he's got a good point right there. In order to keep things in perspective, we should condition ourselves to basically ask this question of whatever it is we're going through. Will this thing that I'm dwelling on right now, will it even matter 1,000 years from now? Will this thing that I'm dwelling on make a difference 1,000 years from now? You know, most of the things that we stress over are not going to make a difference 1,000 years from now. In 1,000 years from now, is it going to matter that maybe last night when you were at the restaurant, the waiter or the waitress messed up on your order? Is that going to matter 1,000 years from now? 1,000 years from now, is it even going to matter what kind of house you lived in or what kind of car you drove or whatever that thing is that you're thinking about? Will it matter 1,000 years from now? Will it matter 1,000 years from now if the Phoenix Suns win the NBA championship, or even if they make the playoffs at all? Some people stress out about sports. Their team didn't do good enough. And so, will it matter 1,000 years from now? On the other hand, if you share Christ with someone, will it matter 1,000 years from now? What do you think? You know that it will. You may have changed someone's eternity. If you take time to encourage a new Christian, if you take time to teach a Bible class, if you go and visit someone and sit with them and pray with them and encourage them, will those things matter 1,000 years from now? I believe they will. And that's what we ought to be focused on. You know, maybe what I'm saying too is that you ought to think about becoming more plugged into the church and serving the Lord. Because when you do something for the Lord, that can make a mark on eternity. That will matter 1,000 years from now. If you're not doing those things, then you need to think about it. Serve the Lord, because I think then you can really make a kingdom difference. You can make an eternity difference for someone around you. And while there are many things that you do that have no eternal significance, there are other areas of your life where you can indeed make a contribution that will last forever. And so, as you go about your daily business in life, you need to get in the habit of thinking of things in terms of eternity. Notice in this verse here what we're looking at in verse 8. Notice how God sees time right here. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. He says to Christians, he says, beloved, do not forget this one thing. You know, sometimes that's all we need to do is focus on one thing. He says, don't forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, these words remind us that there is a bigger picture to all of this. The few years that you're here on the earth, the small circle that you live in, these are only a tiny part of all that it is, and you need to remember not to overplay your own importance. The things that you're doing, the life that you're living, the circle of influence, and the things that you're doing in your life, you need to see the bigger picture. You know, one of the practical ways that plays out, I think, is showed up in a little video I saw a couple days ago on the internet, where they were showing these three people on an airplane, And they were in the air. The plane was flying, and the three you heard as the little clip was going. You heard the three people in their own minds thinking about their own little stresses and their own things that they were going through. And these three people were sitting next to each other on the airline. One was on the window seat, the other the aisle, and the one was in the middle. And they were actually being very discourteous to each other because of the stress that they were stuck in. You know, one was saying, "Can you get my bag?" And the other, "Okay, I'll get your bag." And, you know, they were just kind of taking it out on each other. And then all of a sudden, as they were flying, they hear over the intercom, the plane is about to crash. And things are getting dark and it's shaking. And you get the picture, they kind of phase out on the little clip there, the idea that they were going to crash. And then the guy that made the video, he said, "Now isn't that interesting how that's the way our lives go? We think about what's happening right now and we forget about the fact that this had all come to a very quick end. That in fact," he said, "we could go out of this existence and into eternity with a negative thought, stressing out over something, taking it out verbally on someone else, and that will be our last thought, our last words, our last thing that we do before we go off into eternity." Seeing the bigger picture involves learning how to think in terms of eternity. And what you need to do is remind yourself that you are not the center of the universe. The world does not revolve around you, and you are only here for a very, very short time. The Bible says your life is but a vapor in James chapter 4. Your life is but a vapor, appears for a little time, and then vanishes away. And not only that, there is more to life than just money and possessions and materialistic pursuits. It says here in 2 Peter chapter 3, look at it, verse 10, it says, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." He says both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. And he says, "Therefore, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" You can see here that one day all of your material possessions will be pulverized. They will be disintegrated. They will be annihilated. They will not exist anymore. They will be, he says, they will be burned up. And he says, all that is going to matter is your godliness, your character, your inward quality, your inward righteousness or lack thereof, whatever it is. He says, all that's going to count is your conduct, your holy conduct. And so, what we need to do is be cognizant of that reality. So keep in mind that when you acquire physical things, whatever it is you get your hands on, one day, all these things are going to be gone. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 31, it says, "Those in frequent contact with the things of this world should use them and not become enamored by them, but instead realize that these things will all pass away one day." All these things that you have, don't hold too tightly onto these things. They're all going to be gone one day. You need to see the bigger picture. Look in terms of, think in terms of eternity. Let's go to our second point this morning. We also need to live in the moment. It says right here again in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, a thousand years are like a day. But it's just as important to realize, it says, that with the Lord, a day is like a thousand years. That means that every minute, every second of every day is crucial and must be lived to the fullest. Even though I said we need to think in terms of eternity, that doesn't mean that we become so heavenly minded that we become no earthly good. We want to think about the future. We want to understand that the Lord's going to come back one day, but we also have things to do now in the moment. Every day is packed with eternal significance. But here's the critical difference. We must learn to live in the moment, but not for the moment. You might be saying, Brother Rowe, what's the difference? Living in the moment versus living for the moment. Living for the moment sounds like this. Eat, drink, and be merry. Living in the moment is much like what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21 when he said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That's living in the moment. That's living with a recognition that every moment I want to live for Christ. Not live for myself, not live for the moment, but live in the moment. And since this world is going to end, again, we need to live holy and godly lives. We need to seize the day, make every moment count, live in the moment. Let me give you a little sports analogy here. Unfortunately, I say this a lot, I know, but I'm a sports fanatic. I like sports, especially basketball. NBA, that's one of my favorite things, okay? And so what I do sometimes, I'll go on the computer, and I don't get to watch all these games, I'll go on there and I'll look at the highlights, you know, and that's usually a 2-minute highlight that shows you, you know, the most important plays of the game and everything, and it's usually in the highlights, if it was one of those games where they won at the last second, they'll show the last second shot. And the drawback to all of this showing the highlights here is that when you see all of this going on, that you get the impression that it was one or two plays that made the entire game, that decided that was the major factor of whether or not they won or lost. But that's not always the case. In fact, some of you remember years ago, there was an NCAA tournament game between Michigan and North Carolina. And you might remember, some of you, if you watch sports at all, you remember the big timeout mistake that Chris Webber made. So there was 11 seconds left in the game, and his team was down by 2, and he got the ball, and immediately he called a timeout. You think that's smart, right? Yeah, 11 seconds, let's make sure all timeout, we'll use the 11 seconds wisely, let's have a huddle, and we'll, you know, group, get together and make up a play, right? Problem was, guess what? There were no timeouts. So they called a technical foul on him, sent the other team to the free throw line. They made 2 free throws, and the other team easily won the game. Oh boy, you might remember if you saw the headlines that came out after that. Man, Chris Webber, his name was mud. Boy, I mean, he lost the game. That horrible thing that he did. But people forget the fact that during the tournament that year, he was the league's leading rebounder. He was the second highest scorer. There was a lot of things that he did right. Sometimes we focus on the one thing someone did wrong and forget about all the right things that they did. And so they focused on that. That was the thing that lost the game because of that play. But the media and the fans, they focused on that one bad play. Coaches realized that every play matters. You see, the team, if you looked at that game that Chris Webber lost, the reality was they missed a lot of free throws, his team did. They played some sloppy defense. There were a lot of other things that happened, but it's that one play that we remember that lost the game. Well, my point is this. You need to get past your mistakes, something that you thought was really bad, that really blew things for you. Get past the mistakes and move on with the game. There's more. It's not a life and death situation. Rather, instead, there's more game to play. It says here in 2 Peter, look with me at verse 9. In 2 Peter verse 9, chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God's not in a hurry to end this world. And He is patiently waiting, it says right here, for sinners to repent so they can be saved and not perish. So if you're here today and you haven't turned to Christ yet, there's still more game to play. And the game that you have, the time you have left on the clock might be expiring really soon. The Lord might come back today. And so what you need to do is come to the Lord. Repent. Be baptized.
take Jesus as your Savior today. You can have a new life, and today is the day of salvation. Again, you need to see the bigger picture. Finally this morning, my third point this morning is you need to learn how to prepare for the best. Do you know that most of us here this morning, if not all of us, we're actually a whole lot better about preparing for the worst. Think about it. We buy car insurance because we're preparing for the worst. We buy health insurance and we lock our doors and we buy alarm systems for our houses. And we know we have virus protection on our computers, all of these things. We know how to prepare for the worst. But if that's all you're doing to prepare for your future, you're missing the bigger picture. We need to prepare for the best. Eternity is much more important than anything that we prepare for in life, and we need to prepare for the fact that we want our eternity to end in a good way for the best. So what we need to do is prepare for the Lord's return. Not just that it could be a bad thing, but hopefully, if we're in Christ, obviously it's going to be a good thing. You know, negative people read about the destruction that's described here in 2 Peter chapter 3, and they miss out on the point of this passage. Notice with me, if you will, right here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, he says, "We, however," he says, "according to His promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth, the home of righteousness." In case you haven't heard, there will be an end to this life that we are living in. There will be the beginning of a new existence, either with God or without God. And God is not trying to scare you enough to keep you out of hell. He is trying to love you enough to get you into heaven. That's the point of this passage right here. The passage speaks of a promise, he says, that God made. And the bottom line of this promise is salvation. Spending eternity with God in heaven one day. But that promise is only for those who accept God's offer of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. So really the question this morning is, are you prepared for the best? The best of what God has for you. The best can be yours if you're prepared for it. Come to Jesus today. Accept His offer of salvation. That is, eternity with God. Do you know that some people are not prepared for the best at all? You ever seen the Academy Awards? Every once in a while, you know, they call somebody up. You won the award. I remember one year it was Sally Fields, and they called her up, and she got up in front of the mic. I really won? She said, "You guys really like me? You really do?" She was surprised that she won. She really, really even wasn't prepared for the best. She had not prepared for the best, and God wants you to, He wants to bless your life. But some of you live as if you really don't expect that to happen. That you don't expect Him to bless your life. It's time to change all of that today. It's time to see, as we see now in 2 Peter 3, it's time to see the bigger picture. Look at things in terms of eternity. Live in the moment and learn to prepare for the best. Christian, I want to tell you this morning as we close. I want to tell you that your future is very bright in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that today? Your future is bright in Christ Jesus. As the old saying goes, you may not exactly know what the future holds, but you know who holds the future. And so let me just encourage you this morning by saying these words from the Apostle Peter. In verse 14, he says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot, and blameless." For those of you here this morning who are not in Christ Jesus, it's time to come to Him today. And when you come to Him today, you will then be without spot and blameless.
ready to spend eternity with God in that great paradise above. So we extend that invitation for you today. Come to Jesus. Believe that He's God's Son, that He died for you, was buried, and He rose again. If today you repent of your sins and then be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you can have a future that's very bright. Let's stand to sing our invitation song.